Malka.
Judy.
Hi.
Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
You've got mail.
I just sent him a message.
Good morning.
Good morning. Gonna mute.
I'm running a few minutes late, so I'll be starting in about 2 more minutes, maybe 3. Are you the only one on?
No, you have a room full.
Okay. I'm sorry for being late.
That's okay. I'm going to have to leave early because I have an appointment, but I can stay till about 30 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to mute again.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We're starting with the landing page on Psalm 21, which comes from the Unique Astrological Times link. And then we'll go over to the PDF. Okay. We'll start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kud Shabrichu Ishkinte Bit Hilu Urshimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Urshimu Le'akta L'shem Yud He Bavav He B'Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kononei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kononeihu. Psalm 21, Tehillim 21, say this psalm on the third day of the monthly cycle. One who is endowed with prosperity and whose every desire is granted ought not be ungrateful. He should praise and thank Hashem, recognize him as the cause of his prosperity, and trust in him, for everything comes from the kindness of the one above. This is a kavanah, the traditional kavanah for this psalm. It is human nature that we think whatever we accomplish comes from us. So the smart person thinks that his smartness, his ability to read fast, his ability to think fast, his ability to make things happen intellectually, to go to college, to go to the graduate degrees, to be a rocket scientist, that person thinks he accomplished it, when in reality, Hashem gave him those tools. A quick brain, a high intelligence, and so forth. The person who is lucky, he's not overly quick, but he's successful. That person thinks his success comes from him. But in reality, Hashem has brought him that luck, that what he perceives as luck, being in the right place at the right time. Those are merciful acts of Hashem. So as long as we think we have done it, we are separating ourselves from Hashem. But when we realize that everything comes from Hashem, that's when we can praise Hashem, thank Hashem, be grateful to Hashem. And that's what this psalm is expressing. The first word is Lamnatzeach Mizmor, the combination. Lamnatzeach, we've talked about, is the connection to eternal victory, which is the Sefirah Netzach. Mizmor leDavid is the cutting, the pruning words. And there are 14 verses in this psalm. 14 is a number that's connected to the Sefirah Malchut. And also, Malchut connects to manifestation. The name David has a gematria of 14. The word Yad, meaning hand, has a gematria of 14. All of these words and this number is connecting to manifestation. How do you make, do the actions that reveal the light of Hashem in whatever material form it's going to take. Verse 1 of Psalm 21. Lam natzeach mizmor leDavid. This is now the second time we've had a limited first verse, but we learn in Kabbalah, in the spiritual frame, or in the physical frame actually, less is more. In the spiritual frame, more is more. More light, more help. That's more from the spiritual aspect. Physicality, less is more. Verse 2. Adonai Elohei Wahei B'Azecha Yismach Melech U'Vishuacha Ma'Gagel Me'od. Please notice the difference in the spelling between the way it's read, Yagel, or Yagila, the way it's written. What is that difference? It's the third letter, which is a Yud. The Yud is the active, is a connection to Hashem through his name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Hashem, the king rejoices in your invincibility, not his own. How greatly he exults in your deliverance, because he credits all his victories to you. Hashem has given you all of these gifts of being a human being, of being able to breathe, of being happy, of being able to see the beauty in the world. All of these senses that we have, these are the gifts of Hashem's mercy, the demonstration of his mercy. And yet he does not exult in his, in these gifts he's given you, but only in your actions, how you manifest these gifts, how you reveal the light in the material forms. This is credited to you. This he exalts at. This he rejoices with. And that's why it's easy for someone to recognize or make the mistake that because Hashem is rejoicing in your actions, that you think you do it. And it needs to be guarded against constantly. The third verse. Tawat libo natata lo wareshet sefatav. It is you alone who have awarded him the desire of his heart. You have never withheld the heartfelt request of his lips. Selah. Remember, Selah is something to contemplate. Something, it's a pause to consider what you have just said. King David is saying in this verse to Hashem, you always provide what I truly need, but what I truly want in my heart, you've never withheld that either. The fourth verse. Ki tikad menu birkot tov tashila tashit lirosho ateret paz. Indeed, you anticipated him with blessings of goodness, the lines of which he could never have expected. You placed a golden crown upon his head. Eight words. You should know by now the number eight is connecting us to Zeranpin or to Bina, to the spiritual worlds. Thirty-one letters connects us to the name El, Aleph Lamed. And El is a name of God dealing with the frame of Chesed, of loving kindness. The fifth pasuk. Chaim Shal Mimcha Natata Lo Orech Yamim. Olam Moed. Life he requested from you. You gave him long days, a destiny that would endure forever. To me, this is a little unclear. Is King David speaking of Hashem, or is he speaking of himself? There are nine words. Nine words connects in two directions. In the frame of direct light, it connects from Keter down to Yesod. And Yesod is this channel, this funnel, to bring everything from the spiritual world into the physical world. But if we count the other way, the ninth going up is wisdom, it's chachma. What do you think this verse is relating to? Is it relating to chachma or to yesod? It has 30 letters. 30 is the gematria of the letter Lamed. Lamed means teacher. The energy of the Lamed is teaching. So it's teaching wisdom. Why did I decide that it's connecting to wisdom and not to Yesod? For the simple reason that the Lamed is the only letter that goes above the line that indicates it's above the physical world. It goes to Bina. It goes above the line, and that relates to the upper three of Keter, Chochma, and Bina. The fifth verse. Chaim Sha'al Mimcha Natata Lorech Yamim Olam. Wa'ed. Obviously, I did that verse. The sixth pasuk. Gadol Kivodo Bishuatecha. Hod v'chadar teshaveh alav. His honor has grown great through your constant deliverance in the thick of battle. You have endowed him with majesty and splendor. Again, I would question, is this talking about King David speaking of himself? Or is he saying Hashem? By King David's actions of winning battles, Hashem is glorified. He becomes great. He rises through the actions of people. Yet he doesn't exult. He doesn't feel that that's the reason he's being raised up. This is the tool. This is the task he has given human beings. And the seven words relate that this is the task he has given the physical world, as exemplified by human beings. There are 32 letters connecting to the 32 gates of wisdom, the 32 paths of wisdom. Have you ever wondered why you have 32 teeth in your mouth? Because your mouth is a form and a way to manifest wisdom through speech. The seventh verse. Ki toshiteu berachod lad techadehu besimcha et panecha. For you appoint him for blessings for the distant future. You make him joyously happy with the revelation of your countenance. Now it's clear. Talking about people, it's talking about King David himself. Eight words connecting us above the physical. Thirty-two letters connecting to Chochma, connecting to the wisdom. The eighth pasuk. Ki hamelech boteach ba'adonai yohewahe. Uchesed el yom, bal yimot, For the king trusts in Hashem. He trusts in the love of the Most High. For with Hashem's help, he will never falter. So in this verse, when he says the word melech, the word king, normally when we would see ha-melech, which translates as thus the king, we would be saying that it refers to Hashem. That's what we learn in the scroll of Esther, Megillah Esther. Whenever it says King Ahasuerus, it's talking about the man. Whenever it says HaMelech, it's talking about Hashem. But here it's different. Here HaMelech is referring to the King David. It's referring to the King Mashiach in a certain sense. The ninth pasuk. Tim sayadcha lekol oyevecha yemincha timsa sin echa. Hashem, your hand will seize all your enemies. Your right hand will overtake those who hate you, the wicked who choose a life of evil. There's a quandary in my mind when I read what Rabbi Sutton has expressed. How do you know who hates Hashem? Does an atheist hate Hashem? Not necessarily. So how do we define hate? Usually by its opposite of love. So how do we define love? The Kabbalah defines love as affinity, closeness with. So hate means distance. This is how you can understand Rabbi Sutton's addition. The wicked who choose a life of evil, they are distant from Hashem. We need to be aware how distant we are from Hashem. When a person says, I have a connection to Hashem, is he telling the truth? Yes, he may have a connection. But if he says, I have a close connection, is he telling the truth? How can he know? And if he's not telling the truth, he's telling a lie. And if he's telling a lie, he's far from Hashem. This is a mistake that many people make. And I heard last night in a movie I was watching a very important adage. It was attributed to the mother of the person of the personality in the movie. A half truth is a whole lie. The tenth pasuk.
Tishitemo ketanur esh le'et panecha Adonai Yohewahem v'yapo yevalem v'tochlem esh. It is they, the wicked, whom you used as a fiery oven to punish the righteous in times of wrath. But after the righteous have been cleansed through suffering, you will swallow them. You will cause the wicked to perish. In your anger, the fire of your own evil will devour them.
the fire of their own evil will devour them. How profound is this verse? Have you ever wondered why the Germans used ovens in the Shoah? Ten words for the ten sephirot. This is a complete structure. The 11th pasuk. Pir yamo meretz ta'abed v'zaram mi b'nei adam. You will cause their offspring to perish from the earth plain, and their seed to disappear from among the children of men. Six words connects to heaven, to Zeranpin. The 12th verse. Ki natu alecha ra'ata chashvu mazima bal yukalu. For they intended evil against you. They devised a plan to destroy Israel, but they are not able to bring it to fruition. Eight words connecting to Bina, connecting above the physical. Letters connecting to all of the energy of the 22 Hebrew letters, five final letters. This is indicating this is connecting to the our generation, the final generation. The 13th. I should make a comment on the English aspect of this 12th pasuk. Because there were plans in Germany to destroy and eliminate all of the Jewish people. They did not succeed. And the rebirth of the modern state of Israel. This 12th pasuk is exemplifying what has happened in our generation. The 13th verse. Ki teshitemo shechem b'metarecha takonen al p'nehem. Oh, that you would cause them to join together with your people. Bring them to your senses by aiming your bow strings at their faces. Let them feel the threat to their existence that will bring them to their senses. Seven words, bringing us back to the physical. This verse is expressing what will happen in the age of Mashiach. Everyone will be united. Everyone will be singing praises to Hashem. Everyone will be connecting to everyone else. Everyone, every human being will become a child of Israel. The 14th pasuk. Ruma Adonai Yohewahe Be'uzecha Nashira Zamra Yivuratecha. High above are you, Hashem, in your invincibility. We will therefore proclaim your omnipotence in song. And the verse continues, chant. And the six words of this last verse connect us back to Zeranpin. So we went from Bina to Malchut to Zeranpin. Actually, we went from Bina to Zeranpin in the physical sense of the lower seven Sephirot, and then back into heaven with the number six. I was preparing today a discussion of Shavuot. And when we discuss Shavuot, there's an argument, a machloket, a search for truth. Was the Torah given on the sixth day of Sivan or on the seventh day of Sivan? And they're really the same thing, because the sixth represents Yesod and the seventh represents Malchut. But the seven represents Zeranpin and the six represents Zeranpin. The seven represents Zeranpin and Malchut, the lower, the physical world. So you can see how numbers are interpreted in many different ways. And you really need to depend on your intuition to know which way to interpret a specific number. This is a limitation of Gematria, but it's also an expansion of Gematria. It's the paradox, just like the Tzimtzum is a paradox, just like every other paradox in the world. I will now read the psalm in the Hebrew. Lam natzeach mizmor l'David Adonai yohewahe Yaz chayismach Melech uvishuatcha Mayegel meod Nawad libo natata lo Wa'areshet Sefata Baumenata Sela Kitikad Menu Birchoto Tashit Lirosho Ateret Paz Chaim Shaal Mimcha Natatalo Orech Yamim Olam Waed Gadol Kivodo Bishuatecha Hod V'Hadar Teshave Alav Ki Teshit Tehu Birachot La'atecha Dehu B'simcha et panecha Ki ha-melech boteach b'adonai yo-he-wa-hey U'chesed elyon b'al yimot timsa yadcha L'kol o'yevecha Yamincha timsa sonecha teshitemo kitanur esh le'et panecha Adonai yohewahem liyapo yivalem betoch lemesh pir yamo meretz Ta'aber v'zaram mi b'nei Adam, kidatu alecha ra'a, chashvu mezaima ba'yukalu, kitashitemo, shechem b'metarecha, tekonen al p'neihem. Ruma Adonai Yohewahe Yehuzecha Nashira Unzamra Givuratecha. Does anybody have any questions? I'm going to talk a little bit about Tu Bishvat. But first, I'm going to read the names of the Tzaddikim who left this day. Who left this day, the 15th day of Shvat, Rabbi Chaim Mordechai Margulis, Rabbi Gedaliah Aaron Rabinowitz, Rabbi Raphael Shlomo Lenayado, Rabbi Baruch Kunstadt, today is Tu Bishvat. Tu Bishvat, the new year of the trees. What does the new year of the trees mean? In the Torah itself, it only says one very short aspect. The Talmud says it's the new years of the tree. The Torah itself says it's the day for defining the tithing of your agricultural products. Whatever you have harvested from last Tu Bishvat to this Tu Bishvat, the Torah tells us it needs to be tithed. You need to make donations to the poor. You need to deal with all of those aspects. The Kabbalah says that on this day, the flow of sap within the tree begins. What does that actually mean? What is the first step for spring? Spring is coming. We all know spring is coming. It may not be a spring-like weather, but it's coming. It will come. It has always come. It always will come. What creates spring? According to science, what creates spring is the equinox. The closest or the middle of the between the closest approach of the Earth to the sun and the farthest approach to the year from the Earth to the sun. The middle happens twice. Once going from early to or close to far, and once going from far to close. Spring is on that path from far to close. what happens on this equinox, on this spring? What is the first step of the spring? It has to be concealed. Why? Because in order for something to be revealed, it must first be concealed. An adage from the Kabbalah. What is the thing that gets concealed? Well, it's concealed. I can't know. I don't know. That's why the Torah is telling us, tithe. Anything that was harvested before this day, that's how you calculate your tithing. Anything that is harvested after this day, that's for next year's tithing. It's a demarcation line. Is it a separation? That's up to your consciousness. If it's part of the process of the year, there is no separation. If we are going from winter to spring, we create in our consciousness that separation. Why do we need to have a new year of the tree? Because the tree is the tallest entity in the physical world. Yes, man has built buildings higher than trees, taller than trees. But trees grow against gravity. Gravity is the desire to receive for oneself alone. A tree goes against gravity. As part of this process, a tree grows a ring. And when does that ring manifest? On Tu B'Shvat. Scientists know that. But according to the Kabbalah, it cannot be any other day. These are just a few things to whet your consciousness as you enjoy and you contemplate. You take a selah, a pause, to contemplate what has man's actions done in the world? Chag Sameach to all of you. Have a beautiful Tu B'Shvat. Classes tonight at 4:30 will be a deeper Zohar study of the Parashah of Noach, and at 7:00, we will have questions and answers. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful day, a beautiful holiday.
Shalom, Hanok. Have a beautiful day. Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and shalom.